This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Marc Boulanger. Here is Radio Labour's summary of international labour news for the week January 2nd to 7th, 2011. In Dubai, one of the Arab Emirates, 2,000 migrant workers revolted to protest their living and working conditions. Some 40 buses were set ablaze as workers refused to leave their labor camp. In Bolivia, workers reacted to the government's removal of fuel subsidies, which had resulted in price increases of up to 83%. A day later, the government reinstated the subsidies. Hong Kong has adopted a new law guaranteeing a minimum wage for workers. Unions hailed the new law, but called for an immediate review because the wage, the equivalent of $4.60 American, is too low. Port workers in Israel went on strike and refused the government's offer of 5%. A settlement was reached 3 days later with a 6% increase for the workers, plus an extra 5% for part-time workers hired after 2005. In Bangladesh, 23 workers were killed and 100 injured in a fire in a garment factory. Many of the workers died trying to climb down the outside of the 11-story factory. 4 of the 7 staircases in the building had been blocked. The Global Union for Garment Workers, the ITGLWF, called for government action to improve health and safety in the country's garment industry. Iraq is planning to ban trade unions in state enterprises, just as Saddam Hussein's dictatorship did. Thousands of people filled the streets of the capital of Trinidad and Tobago to support public employee demands for decent wage increases. The government is offering a 5% wage hike, while the inflation rate recently hit a 27-year high of 16.2%. Teachers in Jordan held a sit-in in front of the country's parliament. They are demanding the right to form an association to represent them in wage negotiations and professional issues. The International Union of Food Workers, the IUF, has called on the government of India to ban the use of the pesticide endosulfan. It kills the farm workers who are forced to apply it, and there are safer alternatives. Julian Assange, the editor-in-chief of WikiLeaks, was given a union card by the Australian Media, Entertainment and Arts Alliance. Mr. Assange was unable to pay his union dues because corporations have shut down his bank accounts and credit cards. The union decided to waive his union dues and promised to support him as a member in good standing. In Karachi, Pakistan, postal employees staged a demonstration to protest government plans to privatize the publicly owned postal service. Some 47,000 people work for the postal system in Pakistan. And that's the week that was for Labour, January 3rd to 7th. More of the latest news coming up. In the United States, the right-wing Republican Party is taking over many elected positions as a result of elections held last November. The lower legislative House of Representatives in the federal Congress is now under Republican control, as is many state governorships. This does not bode well for trade unions and their members in the country. Irma Arkus, Radio Labour's senior correspondent, comments.
Growing inequality in U.S. is potentially going to get worse as state governments are looking to limit the power of collective bargaining and slash workers' salaries and pensions, a move that many Republican-dominated governments posit as a cost-saving measure aimed at slashing the budget. While the government representatives tout that the anti-union slash-and-burn tactics will be a way to stop the union fat cats from siphoning large chunks of the budget on wages and benefits, others say that the move is a public relations one, aimed at scapegoating the unions for unemployment and financial crisis ultimately created by Wall Street. U.S. is currently like Greece, minus the protests and public demonstrations, as misdeeds of other, more powerful and politically influential corporate and political actors look to trim the wages of few remaining and relatively stable jobs. New York Times reported this week that state governors across U.S. are attempting to enact state laws that would target unions, their ability to take away the rights of workers to unionize, and in some cases even target the union bank accounts. This is Irma Arkus reporting for Radio Labor.
The official labor organization of North Korea has joined with other officials in the country to call on South Korea to halt its confrontationist tactics and join unconditional talks for inter-Korean dialogue. Hyun Sang-joo, Secretary of the Central Committee of the General Federation of Trade Unions of Korea, called on the South Korean government to open a new phase in the efforts to reunify the country. Some observers have noted that it is North Korea that has been adopting confrontationist tactics recently. In March 2010, it sank a South Korean boat, killing 46 sailors. In November, it shelled a South Korean island, killing 2 Marines and wounding 18 civilians. The General Federation of Trade Unions of Korea is not recognized as a real union by the international labor movement. Now, here with his regular report from Labor Start, the labor movement's news service, is Derek Blackadder.
Here's a short summary of just some of the hundreds of stories currently appearing on Labor Start. Last week, 6 anti-slavery activists were arrested in Mauritania. They were protesting the failure of the government to enforce a 2007 law criminalizing the ownership of slaves. The International Trade Union Confederation has called on Tunisia to end the violent repression of demonstrations protesting high levels of unemployment. Since the public suicides of 2 unemployed young men, the UGTT, or Tunisia's central labor body, has been organizing street demonstrations across the country demanding government action on employment. Globally, the International Transport Workers Federation has been organizing its affiliated unions representing airline workers in support of the struggle at Japan Airlines to save hundreds of older workers from being sacked. The union at JAL also suspects that workers have been selected for layoff on the basis of their union activity. On the good news front, from the Bahamas, we are carrying a number of stories about the increasingly successful struggle of unions there to stop the privatization of the country's telecom utility. Finally, we at Labor Start are very pleased to announce the winner of our 2010 Labor Photo of the Year contest. Gerardo Correa's photograph of agricultural workers in Canada as they started a 50-kilometer march called the Pilgrimage for Freedom, in an effort to draw attention to the plight of migrant workers, was the winner. It gained the most votes from Labor Start's readers right around the world. Geraldo himself is a migrant worker and a social documentary photographer. The winning photo was his first ever entry in our contest. Congratulations to Geraldo from everyone at Labor Start. We hope that in some small way the contest helps bring attention to the struggles of migrant workers around the world. This photo is available for non-commercial use by workers and workers' rights organizations. Contact Labor Start for details. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
The Congress of South African Trade Unions, COSATU, has accused the government and the ruling African National Congress, the ANC, of some very serious charges. It says that they are not tackling the problem of labor brokering because of personal ties to the industry. Labor brokering, sometimes called agency work, is the practice of hiring out workers for very short-term contracts. The employees end up with poor wages, no benefits, and often do not even know who their legal employers are. COSATU wants a complete end to labor brokering. The government has proposed a law which would slightly improve the regulating of the industry. Now, COSATU has accused the government of being soft on labor brokering because some of its leaders are connected personally to the industry. One accusation is that the son of President Jacob Zuma has interests in labor brokering companies. And that's it. Now you're up to date with the latest international labor news you can use. On behalf of myself, Marc Boulanger, and the rest of the team at Radio Labor, thank you for listening. And speaking of union cards, yes, Radio Labor is unionized. The hosts of the program, myself included, carry media union cards. We are members of the Communications, Energy, and Paper Workers Union, Local 2040. We are accredited by the International Federation of Journalists, the global union that represents journalists around the world. Goodbye, and remember, it's all about global solidarity forever.